heart bell was recorded for rebroadcast at this time. Please do not cough.
Welcome to Dreamland, a program dedicated to an examination of areas in the human experience not easily nor lost. Things seen at the edge of vision, awakening a part of the mind as yet not mapped, and yet things every bit as real as the air we breathe but don't see. This is Dreamland. Sunday evening once again in Dreamland. Hi everybody, I'm Art Bell. And I think you're going to enjoy this evening as, in a way, kind of a follow-up to what we've done with Gordon Michael Scallion and beyond, of course. But we'll follow up on a couple of those things as well. Because our guest is going to be Dr. Bruce Goldberg. And his specialty is hypnosis, past life regression, future life progression. Wait a minute now. Future life progression. Seems to me if we can look into the future, we can look into the future. So we'll ask him about some of what Gordon Michael Scallion said, predicted. By the way, on that subject, our lines are just jammed with people trying to order that tape. And my recommendation to you is continue to try. If you're trying to get a tape of Gordon Michael Scallion, begin tomorrow also during regular business hours. Repeat, during regular business hours. You can continue to try tonight or try tomorrow, and the number to call to get copies of Dreamland programs, to subscribe to our newsletter, or to order the tape of Mr. Scallion that so many are trying to get, is 1-800-917-4278. 1-800-917-4278. In just one moment, Linda Howe will do an opening report for us, and I understand she's got a very interesting one. Many of you health-conscious people know about antioxidants
in the Dolphin Island Parkway cattle farm area of Mobile. The only tissue removed from the large 1,800-pound bull was the tongue, cut from deep within the throat near the larynx. Mr. Frazier said that his two cows found 25 feet apart from each other, both lying on the same side with the same excisions, had four of their six teeth removed in neat circles.
Oh,
but, as usual, the local livestock investigator told the sheriff's office that it was predator, and that has been the formal conclusion. Since the newspaper did an interview with me and some others, I've received phone reports from local residents who say that they have seen odd lights in the woods back of their homes, not far from the pastures where the mutilated animals were found.
Linda, as a matter of interest, which predator is it that removes tongue and teeth?
As far as I know, Art, none of them are capable of doing the kind of surgery I've seen with my own eyes. And when I was in Colorado in January and presented the update on our research about animal mutilations the last 12 months, I showed the sheriffs a whole series of photographs done by Texas A&M and University of Utah wildlife specialists on what predators do to cattle, to sheep, to goats. None of the photographs resemble any of the high strangeness bloodless cases, and it impressed the sheriff, as in Alabama, the rancher knows that what he's dealing with is not predator, but for some reason we are still living in a time when it is easier to deny this strange phenomena than it is to just simply face it, deal with it straightforwardly, and investigate it.
Of course.
Now, if there are any Dreamland listeners in the Alabama area who hear about unusual animal deaths, I would greatly appreciate your calling me at 215-491-9840. There's apparently an upsurge of activity in Alabama, and I would appreciate fresh firsthand reports. My address is Post Office Box 538. In Huntingdon Valley, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 19006. Again, the phone number for unusual animal death or strange light reports is 215-491-9840.
All right, we're on the air in Birmingham. Is it close to that?
Birmingham and Mobile. I don't know what the mileage is, but hopefully Birmingham listeners, if you hear about something in the Mobile area, you can contact me, because it's one of the big challenges getting information out of even local areas, let alone the states.
Right.
Now, in December, I reported about a man in Atlanta, Georgia, who watched helicopters escort what looked like a darker patch of blue sky that he could see moving against the lighter blue sky. He wondered if the helicopters were escorting some kind of camouflage UFO or new aircraft.
I remember.
Yeah. Well, last week, I received a letter from another Dreamland listener who heard the Atlanta man's report and talk to me about a United States government technology that might explain what the Georgia man saw, and according to her, is based on extraterrestrial technology. The woman asked to remain anonymous, even though she agreed to give this firsthand report about her conversation with a Central Intelligence Agency employee who has been involved in a project to make aerial craft invisible.
Oh, my. Shades of the Philadelphia experiment.
He is an engineer, had been an engineer since college, ended up in management by the time he was in his 40s, and somehow got associated with the CIA. He was in Washington, D.C., and very smart man, and my ex-husband had been an engineer, and so we would talk engineering. I had a little concept of what he was discussing. It was fun. And then once we got into some of the things that, you know, well, gee, you're going off to Vienna, and you're going off here and there. You're doing a lot of top secret things, aren't you? And he'd kid me a little bit and say, no, of course not, Linda. I wouldn't ever be able to do anything like that. And just, you know, enough so I began to realize that he was involved in some things with the CIA, technical type of things that really were none of my business, and so I probably shouldn't pursue it. One night, however, after many, many months of just kidding around, he said to me, I'll discuss something with you that's very interesting that I've been involved in for a while, and obviously this is something for you alone, and we were in an area where no one else would have heard. And he told me that they were working on a very top secret airplane that would be invisible. It would fly over, you would not see it, you would not hear it. Everyone knows their technology that can, I guess, inhibit sound. That's not a problem. But is there something that literally someone can walk in front of you, or something can pass in front and you won't see it? I said, well, how on earth does that work? And he said, well, it's altering of the cones and the rods in your eyes when it passes by. And I don't really know the technology, but taking a picture or whatever else, you know, you've got to have the lens working, and all the little mechanisms have to be working to receive the light into the eyes so that it registers. And something cuts off the light, I don't know. You'd have to ask an engineer how that works. Mm-hmm. But that is indeed the way they would do it. So it's there. If it flies by, it doesn't do anything to itself. It does something to your cones and your rods so that you cannot receive the light to see it. I just remember him telling me that there was indeed a project, and it did indeed work.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the reasons and the plans for it, I don't know.
But it was sort of precipitated by your asking him questions if he had knowledge about things extraterrestrial.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's an important report. And, you know, Linda, the visual spectrum to the human being is not very much different, except in frequency, than the audio spectrum. And you can do that with audio. You can virtually cancel audio.
Well, in fact, one of the footnotes to this, what I consider to be a very important report, too, was my own experience at Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque back in April 1983, when I was talking with Air Force Office of Special Investigations Agent Richard C. Doty about extraterrestrial phenomena, and he told me then, now this is 1983, that the government knew that the non-human intelligences that are interacting with our planet could deflect photons so that light would be deflected away from the human retina, thus making the alien craft invisible when desired. And this raises the interesting question that perhaps the popping in and popping out characteristics of the UFO phenomena so often reported by eyewitnesses relates to a photon deflection technology.
Yes.
And perhaps this woman's report is about CIA technology development that mimics that effect. It might be more technology than what people speculate about in terms of interdimensional doorway popping in, popping out. This may be strictly technology. And if any of our Dreamland listeners have any more information about photon deflecting technology or technology that would affect the cones and rods of the human eye by objects flying over so they become invisible, please contact me at my post office box 538 in Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 19006.
Well, this is liable to get us a contact, all right. Either you or me or both of us by somebody we don't want to talk to.
Well, slowly by slowly steps, I think at least Dreamland, I am becoming extremely convinced that we have a lot of listeners with a lot of solid information and that they are learning that they can communicate anonymously, and we will protect that but still share the information which we all need to know. And just another small follow-up, you have been talking with Gordon Michael Scallion about the future, and you will be doing more so tonight with your guest. Recently, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been getting phone calls and letters from abductees that I have had files and dialogue with over the last few years. And they are reporting what they call these virtual reality dreams that seem more real than life itself. And what they claim that they are seeing in the dreams are volcanoes and earthquakes. It raises a question, which I know you're going to be discussing tonight. Is there something coming up here in the future that is going to involve more earthquakes and more volcanoes?
All right. Well, you're like another source. Then you have talked to a number of people who have said this, or what?
Yes, I have had at least a half a dozen phone and letter reports from abductees who don't know each other. They're in different parts of the country. And periodically, I will get phone calls and letters and what's on their mind. And right now, what is on their mind is upcoming earthquakes and volcanoes.
My, my, my. All right. Very good. I appreciate that, Linda. And I assume next week, I shouldn't assume. Will you be in where are you going to be?
I will be in Philadelphia as far as I know. And I look forward to continuing correspondence from our Dreamland audience. This letter and this interview, I think, gives you an idea of how strong the content can be.
Indeed. Thank you, Linda.
And thank you, Art.
Take care. And I'm going to repeat her phone number for those listening to WYDE in Birmingham, Alabama. Or anybody else who has information on this technology that she just talked about. That's fascinating. Modifying the light and the way it's received in the cones and rods in your eye. Linda's phone number is area code 2 Michael Donahue, Joan Rivers, Regis and Kathy Lee, CNN and CBS News, among others. He's also served as a consultant on the film version of The Search for Grace, which was made into a movie for CBS starring Lisa Hartman and Ken Wall and aired in May of 1994. He also, by the way, in December was on a program called Other Side, the Other Side NBC television, where he progressed a studio audience member into a future life and then later guided the entire studio audience into the future of this life and a future lifetime. December 3rd, CNBC reran his 1993 interview with Tom Snyder, and there they talked about physics and progression. So he's been all over the media. Now he's over it a little more. Here with just a couple of minutes before the bottom of the hour is Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Hi, Dr. Goldberg.
Hi, Art. Nice to reincarnate back on your show.
Yes, glad to have you.
I have some good news for both you and your listeners in reference to the topic that seems to be getting a lot of attention these days, and that is that we can discuss this in more detail, of course, but progression is done by my patients, and I mean thousands of them, have shown that there will be no more major earthquakes, larger than the Northridge earthquake anyway of last year, for the rest of the century. So the gloom and doomers are not going to get it right this time.
That's good news, and I'm glad to have something over on the other side. But I would ask you this. I can understand how one could easily document regression. You could go back and look at history and records, and you could go through careful documentation. I know you've done that, and prove that your information is accurate. With regard to the future, how do you document it?
Well, you can document age progression first, and obviously this is what we did on the three patients that were kind enough to come on the other side with me at two months ago when NBC aired the show, were patients who I had to work with about 5 years prior to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did was I followed them up. I followed them through. One of them was a case of a woman who had AIDS, and she was able to perceive into the future where she was able to be taken off experimental medication that was not working, and her immune system would respond between, let's say, 4 and 5 times the quality that it was would have done had the medication worked. That's exactly what happened. Her CD4 count is now 6 times what it was back about in March of last year.
Wow.
As a result of being taken off the medication.
And she came off that medication based on the progression?
Well, she came off the medication. She chose, we're going to talk about how we choose frequencies, as she actually chose her ideal path, in which she was told by the physician that the medication was not working and that it's her option whether she wants to stay on and get the side effects. And she said, okay, take me off.
Okay, take me off. All right, doctor, hold on. We'll be right back to you. Dr. Bruce Goldberg is my guest. We'll be right back.
We're Talk 102.
This hour of Art Bell was recorded for rebroadcast at this time. Please do not call.
Talk with Art Bell. First-time callers to Dreamland dialed 702-727-1222. This is Dreamland on the CBC Radio Network.
It is, and I've got some information just in from USGS, the Alaska Information Center. Brace yourselves. There was a 6.2 earthquake today, felt over a large area of Alaska. I've got a second fax on it as well. It was 6.2 in, let me see, well, here's another fax. We listened to you on KFAR Fairbanks, Alaska. There was a 6.2 earthquake in south central Alaska today. And that's from Dan and Susan, and then combined with the USGS report that I have, also calling that, and a 6.2 earthquake in New Zealand, probably an aftershock. Northern Peru today, 5.7, and the California-Nevada border, 3.7. In Las Vegas, they had a mild one, 3.3, and 2.2 make that two very mild ones. Then this fax, good evening, Art. Please take a moment to welcome KYOS Merced, California, back to carrying Dreamland live, and thanks for listening to their listeners. Yes, indeed. Thanks for listening to your listeners. KYOS, back live with us on Sunday evenings. Now, back to Dr. Goldberg. Bruce, are you there?
I'm certainly here.
Okay.
We were talking a little bit about how you can document some of these things, and again, the nice thing about when you work with this, I've been doing this for 20 years now, is that with people who I work with over many years, who I can then follow through on those three patients that were brought kind enough to go on the other side interview 2 months ago, these people had gone forward in time back in 1989 all the way till about 92 when I worked with some of these people. And this was now anywhere from 2 to 5 years after the fact. The perceptions that they had received and the ideal frequency that we're going to talk about how people can actually control their destiny was actually able to manifest themselves. So they actually documented the progressions. Now, if you can document age progressions, then using simple extrapolation principles, you can also then make that a reasonable theory, let's just say, or hypothesis as to the future lives coming through, too.
Sure. Makes sense to me.
In fact, I've worked with newscasters who predicted, in fact, in past lives, visualized in my older book, there was a radio host who predicted a baseball score result. There was a newscaster who predicted, if you will, or progressed himself to perceive actual news items that actually came true. Many of these were local, and they were not logical items, like a small plane crash and a fire in the city and the name of the person who died and things like that. So there are lots of little things that give more credence to the idea that these progressions are, of course, reality.
One of the first things everybody would ask about this, Dr. Goldberg, if you can really begin to predict events, then you could predict the stock market, you mm-hmm. could predict all kinds of financial trends and events that frankly could get you rich.
Mm-hmm. And the answer is you can do it. The problem here is that you have something called the laws of karma, and this is what it means. It isn't just one future. It's not like, this is what I always have a problem when people tell me about their psychic readings or some of the prognostications or even their own precognitive dreams that they have. Because you're getting a frequency or an option. If you're not on that frequency, then the lottery number you get or the stock market reading you get is not going to be relevant to you. You have to be on the same frequency where that perception or progression is attained.
All right, well, let me tell you just one little bit about Gordon Michael Scallion, mm-hmm. what he said about how his visions come. He said, almost like a television screen that plays in front of you, but not just one, three. He said, two of them will be fainter. One of them will be brighter in contrast and is the most probable future, but he agrees it could go, it could change, it could go another direction. He says he's learned to pick this brighter, more probable future.
Okay.
Does that make any sense? That kind of coincides.
Actually, it does. What he's saying basically is that in Past Life Future Lives and also in The Search of Grace in the back of it, I give the complete explanation of how the quantum physics space-time continuum works. What I break it down to very simply are five basic options people have. And the one that's ideal, if you will, that the one they can choose and be programmed to, is going to be the one that's going to be pretty much their framework of their reality. Now, what that means, for example, let's say that Mr. Scallion and others, and let's talk about people like Casey and Nostradamus and biblical predictions and all the ones that are unfortunately show gloom and doom, I'm not saying those aren't going to occur. What I'm saying is that I know I'm not going to be on that frequency, and anybody else who uses very simple techniques of switching tracks can actually be switched away from that track where that negative frequency is a reality to a more positive one.
Well,
let me give you a good example of this. The best thing I can relate to is that in 1977, when I developed the field of progression hypnotherapy, I decided to do a little research, an unpublished research experiment. I wanted to take about 500 people into the future, specifically going to the end of the century because of the various things I've mentioned, the Casey and the Nostradamus and the Bible and things like that.
Sure.
So what I did was I found out that about 80% of these people showed that on the frequency they were on, that in May of 1988, they came up with the same figure, May of 1988, a nuclear war began. Now, you know, I don't read the papers every day, but, you know, I don't remember one.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the nuclear war is going on right now on a certain frequency. We're not on that frequency. That's how similar and how different they are. It's on the same longitude and latitude. It's on the same, dimension, if you will, out there, except the parallel universe that it represents, which is proven, by the way, by quantum physics since 1957. We know about parallel universes that has been documented at Princeton University, of all places, that they are that off. Just like a radio frequency is, if you change your dial, you're a hair off. You get a different frequency, you get a different show coming in.
All right, well, you're in California, right?
I'm in Los Angeles, right?
Los Angeles. My advice would be stay on a different frequency.
Well, my point is that it's not... My point is to choose the ideal frequency and stay on that one rather than just say staying off... than staying off all the others. You have to know where you're coming from. You have to have a scorecard with the players on there. And
sure.
For most people, they don't have that. What they do is they just unfortunately get hit by this gloom and doom. We were talking a little bit before the show about how back, I remember I was doing a radio interview here in Los Angeles on KFI Radio, a big radio station out here, and I was regressing and progressing the host of the show into the future. And she went to the 23rd century. That was a great, great show. But what happened was that she was very nervous during that show because that was November of 1991. And the following month, this seismologist at Caltech predicted a major, major earthquake in the Midwest, in the Mississippi River Valley, covering like about 10 or 12 states.
Yep.
It was supposed to be the worst earthquake in the world.
I remember it, yeah.
And guess what? And the news cameras were there, and CNN was there, and everybody was there. And December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, 1991, occurred, exactly 50 years, by the way. And guess what? Nothing happened. And this was one of the most prominent men in this field, who is not on the news very much these days, fortunately. But my point here is that you can't predict earthquakes scientifically. Now, psychically, of course you can get vibrations, and patients of mine can get progressions showing that. But if you look around and perceive the other four major options, you'll find that there are no major earthquakes on at least one, if not two, of the major frequencies. And if you're on that frequency, the Northridge earthquake of last year here, or some of these other You mentioned 6.2. I don't like any earthquakes at all, but you know something? 6.2 is not going to put California into the ocean.
No. Oh, no. It certainly is not. There's no question about it. Those are just quakes that occurred today.
Right. But what I'm saying is that people feel that the so-called big one, you know, they had, I remember on the local news here, just in Los Angeles, about a week or so, or 10 days ago, they interviewed a Caltech scientist, a seismologist, and he said, well, you know, there's so much pressure built up, we haven't really had a big earthquake, the big one, for like since 1810 or some crazy figure. So he says, we're really due for one. He says, well, when's it going to be? He says, well, it could be tomorrow or in 75 years.
That's right. Okay. Well, actually, I think they narrow it down to the next 30 years. It could be tomorrow or within the next 30 years. But science is out there also warning right now of a big earthquake. So you're right. You're running against the trend, but that's fine. I hope you're right.
That, you know, the point is that is not to be scared by... This is what you play call playing defense. And see, my point here as a therapist is empowerment. Number one, I'm not saying... Believe me, I'm the last person in the world to do things of complete folly. I didn't move from the East Coast to the West Coast because I wanted to be in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on a dinghy, you know?
Well, maybe this is why somebody accosted Dan Rather and demanded to know the frequency. I don't know.
But what I'm saying is that, look, if you send the energy out that you're worried about the possibility, what if, then you actually create an energy level that can make that a reality. If you take an empowered point of view, and if you take the point of view that, you know something, I don't really worry about earthquakes, there's not a darn thing I can do about them anyway, I'm going to think positively and program myself and my parallel universe on a positive level, guess what? You now have decreased significantly the likelihood of that disaster occurring.
Well, that's interesting. If that's a universal truth, then those who predict doom and gloom are bringing it on.
Well, they're only bringing it on to themselves. You have to have millions and millions of people actually send that negative energy out to do that. That's why, for example, those of your listeners out there who may have, not that this is a scientific treatise, but if they ever read, for example, the Seth material, Jane Roberts' books in the early 70s, they would talk about Seth, the discarnate entity, would talk about how, well, you know, these earthquakes and these typhoons and all these little things are brought about by the global magnified negative energy. Quantum physicists have actually documented the fact that energy does have a certain effect. In fact, there was a scientist, a neurologist up at Stanford by the name of Carl Pribham, who's now retired in North Carolina now, but when he was there for 30 years, he came up with the holonomic memory theory, or brain theory, which states and combines neurology with quantum mechanics, which says that not only does a thought create a hologram, but that hologram creates parallel universes marrying into quantum physics, and you literally have a three-dimensional representation of your reality and your future and your parallel futures by just having thoughts occur in your mind.
Well, if we can do this with regard to external events, Doctor, then I would think that the power to heal oneself would be overwhelmingly strong.
Well, it is. In fact, in my older book, Past Life Visualized, I talked about a case of hysterical blindness of a woman who was able to use a regression and cleansing technique to reverse that. I deal with allergies every week in my office. I have psychosomatic illnesses. I have patients who have everything from asthma, migraine headaches, to colitis, to spastic stomach and colons, etc. These are people who are making tremendous... And, of course, the immune system. Let's not forget about the woman who was on the other side with me, Mary. She was able to build up her immune system where she's almost out of the AIDS class. Now, that's how good her immune system is these days.
Actually, there are quite some number. I've been reading a book called You Don't Have to Die, and I can't remember the name of the author, but there were a lot of similar cases documented in there of people who have literally actually brought themselves out of the AIDS classification by raising their T4 count.
And also people who have remissed cancer tumors, because, see, the research today, I had a call from an old friend from NIH, and she wants me to work on a research project with her, one of the grants in the future, in reference to my techniques, just as more of a theoretical backup. And I said, fine. But what they're doing is now they're finding that the classic AIDS research isn't working. as in Mary's case, she had to be told off the drug because it wasn't working. What they're doing now is they're using the cancer research, because in cancer, you know, the problem with cancer is that the T lymphocytes, which fight cancer for the most part, they won't attack their own cells. That's why cancer, which is nothing but a normal cell that has become abnormal, the immune system doesn't attack its own. So that's why people, these tumors grow and grow and grow. And they're trying to use some of the ways to stimulate the cancer immune system to deal with AIDS. Now, what's also interesting is this. Carl Simonton, back in the 60s or early 70s, when he developed the visual imagery techniques for fighting cancer by using the you know, you imagine the cancer is a piece of meat and your immune system is a bunch of sharks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What he did was, he did that on a more of a psychological hypnotic viewpoint, because his wife, Stephanie, was a psychologist. But at Penn State University, among others, I'm familiar with Penn State because of my undergraduate background in biochemistry, is that they came up with, they found out that when patients were exhibiting hypnotic levels, alpha levels, which also includes meditation, that they would actually increase the amount of T lymphocytes produced when they would do these biochemical, they would take certain aspects of their spinal fluid to see what the, and brain-mind barrier extracts to see what the production of the immune system was. And they found out that in alpha, the production of T lymphocytes was always increased. So therefore, that we have scientific and absolute biochemical evidence to show that when people do things like relaxed levels of alpha, that they actually increase their immune system. In fact, I have a new scientific article coming out later this year, which will be a survey of the medical literature. It's not my research, showing how the medical literature shows that there is an adrenal corticosteroid produced by the adrenal gland called DHEA/S. And what this does, the production of this slows down the aging process.
And
the purpose of this article is to show how by using alpha levels like meditation, hypnosis, yoga, biofeedback, etc., that you actually will look younger. In fact, patients of mine that I see in my Los Angeles office, when they come in here and they've been practicing yoga, meditation for 20 years, I can tell automatically because they never look their age. And neither do I. I mean, you see pictures of me. I don't look my age either. And
no, you don't.
I don't have a picture in the attic with a sneer on it either. You know, it's done by alpha techniques.
Okay, listen, I'm curious. As you progress somebody toward a future life, wouldn't it be possible to discern their rough date of death?
Oh, sure. In fact, you can get the exact date of death, actually.
Do people want to know?
Well, you know, it's interesting. A lot of them don't, of course, but inquiring minds want to know, I guess, is a way of doing it. What they really are more interested in is not so much the exact date, because certain things you can't prevent. You could prevent getting hit by a car if you didn't leave your house that day, yes, but you can't prevent necessarily dying of old age or dying in your sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning in the year 2020.
So then they want to know the manner.
They want to know the manner. They also want to know, is this ideal frequency? I mean, did they accomplish what they wanted to? Even though we're all going to die, that's a given for the biological body. But the question is, if they had a better frequency and a more fulfilled life, and they left their mark to their children and to the universe on a much more positive note, wouldn't it be better to die even younger, or maybe even more traumatically, if you will, than to live out a longer life and just be sort of like taking up the oxygen?
Oh, that's a fascinating concept. Have you been able to document the death of anybody?
Oh, sure. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a very interesting case. So this is one where I was working with this gentleman who is an attorney from the East Coast.
Okay, hold on. That's a good hook. Let me take
sure.
a break here. We'll be right back with Dr. Goldberg.
Let me tell you what happened. This attorney wanted to know what his ideal future was, so he was using my progression tapes that I always give a patient when I work with them, and he perceived himself having his ideal future where his wife was going to die in a car accident on the Capitol Beltway in Washington in a snowy February night. And he said, this is a great frequency, but my wife dies. And I said, well, it's your choice. He says, well, is this like murder? And I said, no. I mean, your wife, she chooses her death. If that's what you want, she will choose her death. You don't let down the brake line of a car. You're just progressing yourself into the future. Well, as it turned out, he chose that ideal future. And then I moved to the West Coast, and I didn't hear from him for a few years. And finally, he called me, and he said, you know, doctor, he says, my life has completely turned around. Everything is fine. I said, well, how is your wife? And he said, oh, well, that's one thing I have to tell you. She did die in February. This is about a year or two before that, in the Capitol Beltway on a snowy night, just like he perceived it in his age progression.
Oh, my God.
Now, the question is, again, did he tell his wife about the thing? As a matter of fact, yes, he did. His wife absolutely hated me. She thought I was, she must have thought I had 3 sixes on my skull. I mean, she did not like anything to do with my work at all.
I'm sure.
She just despised it, so she just rejected everything, so it wasn't a great conversation that he had with her. But at the same time, on the principle here is that, believe me, I don't wish anybody's death, but remember, everybody chooses their own death. His wife literally chose to have that happen. She was informed about the situation and just ignored him. And as it turned out, his progression was extraordinarily accurate, and that's what happened. She's no longer on the earth plane in this frequency anyway.
Uh-huh.
But she is on others, you see.
I understand. What would the implications be of having changed that, do you think? If he'd have said, of course I don't want my wife to die, not allowed her to go out on any of those nights, and had changed it.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, if this is a change of the space-time continuum, you would think, and that would cause major problems, some people would say, but you know something, it really wouldn't. What would happen was that if she lived, okay, then he still would have done his thing, that wouldn't have necessarily changed his other aspects of the frequency. And then because she lived and her thoughts would create a new reality and his thoughts would create additional realities, they would simply just make certain addendums and changes to that, their frequency in the space-time continuum. I don't think it's the same thing as if you stopped the assassination of President Kennedy or if you stopped the bombing of Hiroshima. Those would be a lot more significant aspects to the space-time continuum.
Would she, in your opinion, have died anyway within a short time?
See, that we don't know, because you see, I don't do that. We don't.
All right, I understand. Doctor, we've got a hold right there.
Sure.
Fascinating point, too. Dr. Bruce Goldberg is my guest. Good evening, everybody. You're listening to Dreamland on a Sunday night from the CBC Radio Network.